Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Get off of Twitter, talk Heat with us and other Heat fans all day and all night long. You're not going to find this stuff anywhere else. Again, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description. Subscribe to Off the Floor. Also, subscribe to Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE, legal again in the state of Florida. You can play NFL, MMA, MLB, and of course, once they start again, NBA and NHL. Panthers are starting up on Wednesday. Pretty soon, their season will begin, and you can play them on Prize Picks too. Use the code 5. They've got a new promotion. Put down $5. They give you 50. It's a 10-to-1 promotion. PrizePicks.com. Use the code FIVE. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow me at Brady Hawk 305. We're going to talk about what somebody else thinks about the Heat today. We're going to do a little bit more of this as we go forward. We'll bring other guests onto the program. As we pivot, make sure we went back in the past a little bit, so make sure you check out our top 40 episodes, top 40 players of Miami Heat history. Greg and I did 10 of those. Also, Alex, Brady, and I, we've done a ton of episodes recently. What is the one you and I and Alex did together? I can't remember.
We did the hoops hype list, the top 100.
Okay, top 100. So again, that's reacting to somebody else. Today, we're going to react to Zach Lowe. Zach is one of the preeminent basketball reporters out there. I've known Zach for a while. Well, before he rose to his current prominence, although it was clear he was going to because he broke down the game in a different way than most of the media members at that time. Now you can find him on a lot of ESPN programming. And he is someone who does talk to the coaches, talk to the GMs, in addition to watching the film. So that's something that a lot of the folks on ESPN don't do. So I do respect his opinion, and he has been kind of all over the place with the Heat in recent years. And that's why his recent comments were interesting to me. And so we're going to go through some of them, because I wouldn't say they're contradictory to what he was saying during the offseason about what the Heat did and didn't do. But they certainly present the team in a different light than he was portraying it in. And those who are Heat fans may remember that Zach, a few years ago, said that the Heat had the bleakest outlook in the league. You recall that? That was before the Jimmy Butler signing. And since then, they've made it to two finals and three conference finals after signing and trading for Jimmy Butler. And so, again, he has been kind of in both places. And I'm going to go through the comments here, Brady. So during the offseason, he said that, "I don't know how you look people in the face with this group and say we're right, still right in this." This was, what was the date on this? Okay, I'm trying to find the exact date. This was during the free agency period when the Heat had not done a whole lot. "I can't think of too many more teams who are more disappointing over the last two offseasons." So this was said the second week of July. This is when it was clear the Heat were not going to make a major move, that Terry Rozier picking him up for the first round pick was their move, and that Donovan Mitchell was likely not going to happen. I think by then we didn't know for sure, but it was right around that time. And they were not going to get any other premium free agents. Okay. And so essentially the offseason ended up becoming, I guess, re-signing Kevin Love, signing Alec Burks, re-signing Thomas Bryant after he opted out, Josh Richardson opting in, etc. So no other significant moves beyond that. I do know the Heat were close to a couple of things. A couple of things fell through that were sort of beyond their control, but there were a lot of other things that were reported that were never going to happen, like them giving a ton of money to DeMar DeRozan. That sort of stuff was never real. So he said that on July 9th, but then with the chance, I guess, reevaluate it, he said this on the Lope Host, which is his podcast. He said about the Heat, he said, that's a good NBA rotation that is a tough as hell, rock solid rotation, a lot of strengths, a lot of stuff to play with. That's not a shallow team. And he also said people are sleeping a little bit on their talent. So do you think, before we start with some of the other things he said, do you think that as the Heat get into camp and we start to see some of these young players and there's a buzz coming out of camp about this guy or that guy, or maybe we guys like Rozier or Duncan return fully healthy, there's competition for spots. I've reported that the Heat are at least portraying it, that there's only two starting spots that are secured, which is Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. And let's say that these other guys, whether it's Tyler or Duncan or Rozier, Jovic, Hakez, you know, all come to camp looking pretty good. Jovic said recently that he may need to pace himself during camp. We may hear the same about Terry and Duncan as we go forward, that there will be a change in national perception about this team, that maybe they're not sort of stuck in the 7 or 8 spot in the Eastern Conference, can't fall further because the other teams are awful, and can't rise higher because all the other teams are better.
I do think a lot of this comes back to the stuff we talked about all offseason, and the thing that Pat Riley talked about is that the national perception for those who actually know the game, I think, would change if they see this team healthy for, you know, a decent period of time to start the season. Because as we talked about, he is right. Like, this team is, no matter how you look at it and talk about the improvements and all of that, they're a deep team. Like, they have some guys, like, we could have legit conversations about who is their 8th and 9th players in the rotation. I think we'll come around to probably the 8th. I think there's a strong 8 that we'll all agree on. But the 9th, it gets a little, there's some question marks, like the Kevin Love and Khalil Ware thing, or if they need another ball handler in certain lineups, or if they bring in Jay Rich, or they need shooting with Burks, or they want to go young with Pella. Like, there are some legitimate options down the line. And then there's talent on the top end. I know he said specifically he was kind of like, I think a lot of people are forgetting this team as Terry Rozier, and I kind of feel that way too, like, because we just haven't seen it so much, and the injury in the playoffs, and the fact that it was reported recently that he hasn't even gotten into 5-on-5 stuff yet, I think is got kind of grabbed people by surprise a little bit, because they need that guy healthy. And the only way that they're going to push things in a certain direction is, a lot of it is Terry, because as I say on every episode, he's the one piece that's sort of new and gives them a new element that allows things to kind of push in a certain direction. So the depth part of it, I think, will allow people to realize, because people realize, I think the national people realize how good these young guys are that could pop. Like Jaime specifically, and I know we're going to get into him because he had kind of a specific comment about him, but there's a draw with him because I think people see the upside there, and everybody knows when there is a young guy that's about to pop for Miami, the odds are he's going to pop. It's not going to go in the opposite direction because they do develop these guys so well. And this isn't undrafted stories. These are legitimate first-round talents like Jovic and Hawkins. So I think there is like that type of element. They never give them credit in the regular season, but I think they know what's coming because of what Spo can do with the roster. So I think a lot of what Zach Lowe is talking about in the roster and the construction, all this stuff, a lot of it has to do with Spo, because he's talking about playing around with certain specialists and certain identities and certain just play styles, because they do have a lot of different things on this roster, even though if you may not like certain things meshing together, like, they do have a lot of specific skill sets that Spo can figure out. And I know a lot of people will say, well, this roster's been together for so long that, like, why are we talking about this in year 6 of Jimmy that he has to figure it out now? Well, if they get healthy, and then obviously we can see where it goes from there. But I think the health thing really is where the national perspective is going to really pick up. That's when people are going to say, okay, this team can be in the mix. And until that's proven otherwise, like, we'll see where they stand.
Well, it feels to me a little bit like if the Heat were to get off to a good start, and let's say they're hovering around the third or fourth spot in the Eastern Conference for the first 20 to 25 games, we're going to hear a lot of, who's this guy? Who's that guy? How did Spo do it with this guy or that guy? Because the narrative on this team has been fixed in a way, even by the national media, not just by the Twitter sphere, the Heat Twitter sphere, but by the national media, that, like, they have to get Wales. Like, that's the whole thing, right? Like, even, I mean, Woj's report, which was wrong again. I mean, he's wrong on the Heat constantly. But, like, he basically, you know, he came out and said that they were going to be in the mix for this big-time player this past offseason, which, again, got people's hopes up. He's never nailed it on the Heat with what they're going to do. And there was never an option for them other than Mitchell not extending. That was pretty much it, right?
Yeah, and here's the other thing I wanted to, like, this is the first time the national media, and I'm not talking about like the Zach Lowe's of the world that are talking basketball, but the national people, that this is the first time they can really talk about Miami in the regular season in a certain topic, because they're gonna pull this Jimmy thing. Like, this is the first time in a long time, like, there's like a legitimate narrative thing hanging over this team that they can use this to their advantage to talk about this team. So I just wonder how that plays into it. We're recording this on Jimmy's birthday, obviously, and we're right. He's just turned 35, and we're talking about kind of the things of him being engaged, what we could see this season. But I think from that perspective, there's going to be some conversation around that, and I just wonder how that is handled with this roster, because as much as we talk about like players and how I'm just always talking about like specific skill sets and everything on the court, the off the court stuff matters too. So we'll see like how much this carries over them a little bit, you know.
Well, and we talked about that. Sean and I did an episode, which some of you may hear before this one, but if you haven't, go back and check the archives here, about Jimmy's 35th birthday and the fact that the Heat have never relied upon someone 35 or older this much. Never for more than being a role player or a secondary scorer, or in Dwayne's case, and he averaged the most points of any player 35 or older. There have been 49 seasons by a player 35 or older for the Miami Heat in their history. And Dwayne has the highest scoring average. He averaged 15 in his final season. And that's the highest scoring average that anybody's ever had. They've never counted on somebody the way that they're counting on Jimmy. And the other thing about it is they are going to, you mentioned the narrative and the national media. Well, think of what's already out there, okay? Possible interest from Brooklyn, big market. Possible interest from Golden State, big market, ESPN darling. They will talk about Jimmy in the framework of who could get Jimmy Butler. It's not going to be about the Heat. It's going to be about who can get Jimmy Butler. And we're already hearing some of that. And look, I believe that the Brooklyn thing, you know, where that's being leaked from, I have some theories on that. But like, as this noise starts to get louder, if it doesn't appear that the Heat and Jimmy are on the same page, or at least the timelines are not matching, then it is going to become a national narrative. And I'm not talking about like Zach specifically, like you said, from those who, you know, are just looking for something, some kind of storyline to create some headlines and some drama and all that kind of stuff. I want to get on the other side of this, though, to something else that Zach said, because I have enormous respect for Zach, and he does do his research. I don't agree with him about something, and I don't know if you do either, which is interesting that we both might not. So I want to get into that here on the other side. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. From the first leak all the way through the process, they will work with you, based in Boca Raton. 100 five-star reviews on Google. That number seems to go up every week. They do the damage assessment for you if they haven't gotten to it fast enough, and they will figure out how to make your place look like new again. They'll also work with you and your insurance companies so that you get the money that you're supposed to get. But again, reach out to them at the very beginning, because the preventative part is the most important part of this process. So if you have a home or business, is a leak, you're worried about a leak, you already have the places flooded, whatever it is, reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVE. FLOOR, name of this podcast, and you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this?
because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. All right. Here was the other thing that Zach said. He talked about their rotation. And again, he called it a rock solid rotation. A lot of strengths, a lot of stuff to play with. A lot of stuff to play with is directly attributable to his respect for Spo, I think. That's where that comment comes with, a lot of stuff to play. And I know Zach's respect for Spo. Okay. And that's also Spo's ability to play on players' strengths, to bring out their strengths and try to hide their weaknesses, which is something he does as well as any coach in the league. But he had their projected starters at Rozier, Hero, Butler, Hawkins, and Adebayo. I just want to repeat it. Rozier, Hero, Butler, Hawkins, and Adebayo. We did starting lineup episodes. I don't think this was one of the ones we thought would be most likely. And then the other part of it is, I mean, we talked about with Rozier and Hero, maybe Jovic as the starter at the four, possibly Highsmith. You thought that could be more the closing rotation. We've talked about the possibility of maybe Rozier with Robinson and either Jovic or Highsmith. We've talked about all kinds of different possibilities. And I broached the subject of Hawkins starting. When we talked about that, though, we said probably not, because you're going to want his scoring, his impact off the bench. And although he can play with Jimmy, you kind of want to have a player like Jimmy on the floor at all times. And so we've gotten into all that. But then the other part of this, so then he has the bench as Duncan, Jovic, Love, or Ware. He actually, in the tweet, he mentioned Ware. And Highsmith, and then either Rozier or Hero kind of running that group. And then maybe mixing Bam and Jimmy. And well, you'd have to mix Bam in, because I don't see how you could, like, if you're going to put out a bench rotation, and let's say it's Rozier, Robinson, Highsmith, Jovic, Love. I don't see them playing Jovic and Love a ton together. Do you?
No, not really. I think the idea there would be they'd have to stagger a lot more than they would usually. But I just think they're so used to doing what they do, which is kind of holding one guy down with the four off the bench. And they can, I think more so this year, going to do the two thing where it's Terry and Jimmy, or Terry and Bam, or Tyler and Jimmy and Tyler and Bam, where they kind of glue two guys together at a time. And I think that's kind of what he was hinting at. But I think that theory is just throwing all your talent on the floor at the beginning of the game and saying, we know where we're at in the mix in the Eastern Conference. Let's just see what happens. Let's just roll the ball out there. Right. But I'm kind of the mindset that if you're trying to climb the charts, you need to maximize your young guys. Like, you have to make sure they're maximized. And the way that Jaime Hawkins is maximized, to me, is not in the starting lineup next to a bunch of guys that need the ball. He would be great in that role. I think he would succeed in that role, and Miami would benefit from it. I don't think there would be a problem. Like, it's not a fit problem, because he's such a good off-ball player. He can defend and switch around a little bit. Like, they wouldn't be a problematic lineup. But I think if I want to see him maximized, I want him off the bench running lineups. I want him having the ball in his hands, running sets for him, doing more pick and roll stuff that he did in the playoffs, running more, you know, mid-post actions that they got to him early in his rookie year. that's the kind of stuff, that the kind of role that I want him to be in. And it also doesn't mean he can't play with Jimmy. I think he could still play with Jimmy and be an on-ball player, because Jimmy's not going to have the ball in his hands at all times. But it definitely makes it a little, it just makes it tough to figure out. Like, when you talk about Spo playing with things and just trying to like figure out like certain styles and mesh things together, I think it would be tough for him to figure it out if you're throwing those five guys out to start, and then you're trying to work in like these other guys together. That bench doesn't really make sense to me. Like, no, that four-man lineup with one other player, like, they'd have to really stagger. So I do think it complicates things. And Jovic ultimately feels like the guy that slots in there. And I know we already did the starting lineup thing, but I think the more you think about it, when you think of the upside, when you think of the youth, when you think of just the pure length that you need there, and the shooting that he's obviously going to hopefully provide in the jump that he's making, I think that makes a lot more sense. Because as much as we want the ball in Jovic's hands, it's not in the same way that they're going to do it off the bench with Jaime. So if you're running Nico off the bench, he's your point guard, sort of, kind of, off in that role, but he's not going to be like the guy you run offense through like you would Jaime. So I'm just a fan of the kind of the one, I think the more exciting things of the season, I think for all Heat fans, is what the pop could be from Jaime off the bench. And I've compared it to maybe Tyler in his sixth man of the year season. I just think there is a pop element that he can provide some life in that role. So I'm more so of a fan of him coming off the bench, and you kind of figure out the other stuff with the starters.
Well, it feels to me, and just listening to the rest of Zach's comments, he's more of a fan of Hakez than Jovic, because he even said that Jovic kind of proved him wrong with the way he played later in the season. So this may have something to do with that, but something you said stuck out to me, because you said essentially for the best way for the Heat to succeed would be and to maximize Hakez would be him coming off the bench. And a lot of people could say something else about Tyler Hero, the same thing about Tyler Hero. So the idea of putting them both in the starting lineup, I think you end up not maximizing either. I think that, even though I and look, my belief is if you're going to start Hakez and you're not comfortable playing him at the two, you know, again, the position thing, then essentially if you're going to play him at the four, then Duncan's your two. Because Hakez and Duncan have this connection. We noticed it early on last year. They play very well off the ball with each other. And then, again, Tyler runs the bench and is going to score 19 points off the bench. Like, that's the way if you're maximizing, because then Duncan gives you that additional shooting. Now, do you have enough rebounding in that group? No, but if you have Duncan playing the two over Tyler, you're a little bigger in the backcourt, at least. So that's, and if you're bringing Highsmith off the bench, you're protecting yourself from Tyler's defense. Like, if I'm looking at it that way, I'm saying if you're going to start Hakez, I do not think you start Hakez and Hero together. That's where I'm at with it. How they want to work it out beyond that is okay. And I'm also not a huge believer in the Rozier Hero backcourt. So if you don't have another suitable player to play with Tyler in the backcourt, then all of this leads to me the same direction, that probably Terry Rozier should be starting, Tyler should be the sixth man, and then I would be okay with Hakez being the starting four.
Even in that scenario, I still don't love that lineup. I still don't love forcing Jaime into that four spot in a role. Like, I think we've just seen it, them do it to so many guys over the years, and I just don't think people want to see that trend started again, where I think they see a guy that's being kind of flowing into a really high level role in the NBA, and then you start putting him in this four man spot and he has to kind of figure it out. Now he's guarding bigger player, and he's kind of having to do more things defensively and size up and all that stuff. And offensively, it still feels like he wouldn't be having the ball in his hands, I think, as much. He would be forced into a lot of catch and shoot threes.
But let me ask you this. Would you be comfortable, and I know we got into this a little in the lineup episode, but would you be, because I want to get into what Zach said about this, which is something else I don't necessarily agree with. Would you be comfortable with Hero and Hakez coming off the bench together and them being the scorers in that group? If you don't have Jimmy on the floor, so you don't have to play Jimmy's style, which we know what Jimmy's style is. He's going to slow it down. He's going to hunt for mismatches. And you just have Tyler and Hakez coming off the bench and playing a free-flowing game. I'm more comfortable with that, the two of them coming off the bench together, than I am with the two of them starting. I just want people to understand it. It's not that I don't like Hakez and Hero together. I don't like Hakez and Hero together if you've also got to get touches for Rozier Bam and Jimmy. Like, you're going to throw everybody out of rhythm that way. It's too much. And I'm with you on that. And that's why this other comment that Zach made, I just don't agree with it. He said, if you gave them truth serum, they'd like that to be their starting lineup. I don't think they would. I don't think that the Heat are going into camp thinking, we want our starters to be Rozier, Hero, Butler, Hawkins, and Adebayo. I think maybe they would like to see the Rozier, Hero thing look like it's clicking. I get that, because they're going to have to play minutes together at some point, whether end of the game, during the game, starting the game, whatever. I think they want to prove people wrong about that, and so I get it that they want to see that look good. But I don't think they're coming out of camp saying, we want Hawkins. I mean, I think they know Hawkins is one of their five best players. I just don't, at this point, he definitely is. I just don't think that they're looking at it like, okay, this is the lineup that we're going to scare the East with. I don't think they view it that way.
Honestly, if they're phrasing it the way that you're phrasing it, it's like, who do we want to see the lineup be coming out of camp? Like, if best case scenario, I'd put Jovic above Hawkins, and I'd honestly put Ware above Hawkins, because I think that would be like best case scenario. It's like, okay, if Ware's playing at this level and they can move Bam to the four where he's more comfortable, then you can make the Terry Tyler thing work, and it puts it all into place. Like, that to me puts it into place. And Jovic just for the size factor. I mean, I think, like, because they got new players, like Hawkins is the new rookie from last year and they have Ware now. It's like Jovic is kind of like the old toy now in a lot of people's eyes, but like, he's still the young guy that can pop here. He's still the younger player with the upside that in a lot of ways, he's kind of the guy I feel like at the four, just because of the pure size factor, the pure fit factor. Like, do we really want to do the thing again where it's another year, another four next to Bam? Like, can we get a little, if we're going to have continuity with this roster and keep things the same every year, can we at least keep that spot the same to kind of find a rhythm for Bam? As much as he probably wants to be, neither one of them probably want to be the five. They're both want to be threes. Right. But I do think that I see what he's saying, though, because if Hawkins was a starter, that means he really took that next step, and he is shooting the three at an incredible level, and he is defending better, and he is becoming, like, taking that jump in this league to, like, being perennial all-star maybe. So, like, in that sense, I could see it, but, like, that lineup to me screams, we'll be happy if that's our closing lineup in the regular season.
Right.
Like, if we could put our five best players out there on the floor, Hawkins doesn't need the ball in his hands a ton in that portion of the game. He could play the role that he likes to play off the ball, and he could be really effective. That's the stuff that Spo will have to figure out, obviously, late in games, and obviously being healthy will help. But that's the case to be made, I think, is like, okay, we would love for that to be our five group, where we don't have to worry about putting Haywood in for defense, or we don't have to worry about putting Duncan in for shooting. Like, that's
because it means that Hawkins has covered up those two things. And I'm the Heat care, and I say this over and over and over, they care much more about the closing lineup than the starting lineup. And it does feel like Zach is framing it like most teams would, like, okay, the starting line, that's not how the Heat view this. They care about the closing lineup. And I do think he's right in the sense of, if those five guys are closing, something's gone right, because that means, and mostly it's gone right A, with Rozier and Hero and their connection, and it's gone right with Hawkins providing the defense and the shooting to enough of a level that, like you said, they don't need the specialist. They don't need Highsmith or Duncan. That Jaime is kind of, he can be a seven on defense as opposed to Haywood being a 10, and he could be a six or seven in shooting as opposed to Duncan being a 10. And you're happy with that because of everything else that he provides. That's a good scenario for a closing lineup. For a starting lineup, I agree with you. It's much better if Ware or Jovic come into camp and are like, we need to start that guy. Like, he makes Bam's life easier, that the high upside guy is ahead of schedule to the point that you feel comfortable putting him in the starting lineup and you're not going to fall behind, even if it's short minutes. That is, to me, the best case scenario. And then Jaime comes off the bench and he can sort of, you know, look at the mismatches as he comes in the game, and he's going against some reserves. He's going to cook reserves just the way that Hero did. And so I just think that that's the best case. So I see where Zach is going with this, but it's not starting. It's not starting because that lineup is going to be the problem with that starting lineup is they're all going to get out of rhythm. They're all going to get out of rhythm. It's going to be okay, who are we? Because you know they're going to go to Bam early because they want to engage him, right? And so then you're going to have games where Jimmy is passive, And you can have games where Tyler or Terry's taking bad shots. We know that Terry's a bad shot maker and all the rest, and so is Tyler to a degree. But they're taking shots out of their comfort zone because they're trying to force something, because they're trying to find their own offense. It's just – it's too many. And then Hawkes, like you said, is standing in the corner. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And not as a starting group. If the guys can all get into rhythm and then at the end of the game, they come up with a game on who they want to go to, which is a whole other issue. Then I get it. But and that is a starting group playing the first 6 to 8 minutes of each half. I don't like it.
I'll finish here. I'll say usually like teams stagger to supplement the bottom half of your rotation. Like you put guys around those guys lower in your rotation to like make it work. And I feel like a lot of time for Miami, it's almost like they're supplementing the better players with the bottom of the rotation guys. Like they're staggering for those guys to make those lineups work. And it's just different from the way other teams do it. So that's why they're forced into this style where we're talking about this exact thing. Like they have to stagger in that way to kind of make the pieces fit together. And I think that's kind of the problem that a lot of people have had over the years talking about that exact thing. Like why are these guys not meshing even though they played together this long? And look, we're obviously talking in a single offseason where we're not seeing any games and we keep pushing the same points. Maybe Terry and Tyler played really well together to start the season. Like maybe it happens and you don't have to do it. Like we don't know. We're kind of projecting here. That maybe it is, both of them have, you know, a good off ball, you know, good catch and shoot threes. They're playing off each other. They're not taking a bunch of shot attempts away from each other. Like maybe it works seamlessly. And then that makes it so much easier for the other guys we're talking about, like all these other options, like working in lineups. Because if that stuff works, then the lineup stuff is like, you could try the Hawkins thing with that group of start games. Like if everything else goes in line, you could try stuff. But I think the problem is right out the gate, they're not in a position to just go out there and just try a bunch of things because they have to make sure the foundation works.
You got to make sure the foundation works. They also got a clock with Jimmy Butler too, where I think you need to get off to a decent start with everything else that's going on. Final thing I'll say on this. Typically, Spo does play nine, which is kind of what Zach was getting at here. But I believe that either Alec Burks or Josh Richardson is going to find consistent minutes. I do think Spo is going to go a little bigger with the rotation early. And that's the other thing to consider because both Burks and Richardson have been miscast as kind of pseudo point guards in the past, and you don't want to do that. But there will be times that they're out there with other ball handlers, both of them, or not both of them, but one of them. So I do think that's the other part is just to take them into consideration. I don't know about Larson at the beginning of the season, but I certainly think Josh, if he's healthy, is going to find his way back into Spo's good graces because he typically does. That's just the way. And I also think that Burks is the type of player that Spo's going to tell to shoot, you know, every time he touches the ball when he's on the court. And if he's making a lot of them early in the season, he'll keep playing at least for a period of time. So a lot to consider. Again, great respect for Zach. And it's always interesting when people actually dive into the Heat because we don't see a lot of that in the national space. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree. Thanks, Brady. Appreciate it. Thanks to our sponsors, Prize Picks. Use the code 5, FIVE, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Greg and I are going to do an episode that's a little bit different coming up in light of what's happening with Tua and you know, the possibility of him not playing again, when he's going to play, how the Dolphins might have to pivot. We're going to look back at two situations, the Chris Bosh situation, the Alonzo Mourning situation, and how the Heat handled those situations and how those situations ultimately played out. So we'll go back in time a little bit before we move forward. Training camp starts on September 30th. We'll have full coverage of Media Day and everything going forward. Have a good one, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.